Alright, welcome back everybody. So, it is my pleasure to introduce Miss Karen Dirksen, who will be presenting on the differences in phytocytophore production of grain sorghum cultivars.
Good afternoon, everyone. Like she said, my name is Karen Dirksen. I'm from Kansas State University. And last spring, I had the opportunity to be a part of a group research project studying how different corn hybrids react in low iron environments. This project specifically focused on phytocytophore production and how that can correlate to iron deficiency chlorosis tolerance. Phytocytophores are natural chelators produced by plant roots. Chelators are molecules that bind to nutrients in the soil, such as iron or zinc, and they keep the molecules from being lost through natural pathways such as leaching. So the objective of this research project was to develop a protocol for screening sorghum varieties for iron deficiency chlorosis tolerance to assist in future breeding selections. Four hybrids were used in this research project with differing levels of iron deficiency chlorosis tolerance. This was to simulate differences and to see if there was correlation between different tolerance levels and phytocytophore production. Because phytocytophores are produced by the roots into the soil, measuring those phytocytophores would be difficult in a soil environment. So this project was developed and made in a hydroponic solution. In that solution, all nutrients had to be provided to the plants via the water. I developed this nutrient solution, and for this experiment there were two different growth solutions, one with iron and one without any. The sorghum was allowed to germinate between two wet paper towels for 4 days, and then after that they were transferred to a silicone sand solution where they were allowed to grow for 6 more days until they were big enough to be transferred to the hydroponic solution. In both of these stages that you see pictured here, day length was simulated by a tarp covering the sorghum varieties. The tarp was placed over the sorghum plants at 7 p.m. and removed at 7 a.m., giving 12 hours of daylight. And as you can see in the second picture, two buckets were a part of each trial, one with iron and one without. And in each bucket there were two of each sorghum variety, giving 8 plants per bucket total. For this project, 5 different things were collected: phytocytophore output, and then 4 other physical characteristics so that we could show correlation between iron deficiency chlorosis and actual phytocytophore production. SPAD readings were taken, IDC scores were given on a scale of 1 to 5, being 1 being green and 5 being totally yellow, and then root and shoot dry biomass ratio, and then the height of each sorghum plant. So phytocytophore production is usually greatest 20 to 24 days after germination and 2 hours after sunrise. So this is when we took our data collection, and this took place around 9 each morning on the days of collection. The sorghum plants were removed from the hydroponic system and placed into 250 milliliters of double DI water, where they were allowed for 2 hours to exude the phytocytophores into the double DI water. The solution was then filtered and then ran through a resin. Because phytocytophores are cationic, they can bind to different resin points. So to prepare the resin to clear it from any unwanted materials, it was pre-washed with hydrochloric acid, and then the phytocytophore solution was ran through and allowed to bind to the different resin sites. The resin was then rinsed with water to remove any non-cationic solution, anything in the solution. And then anhydrous ammonia was added to the resin to kick off those phytocytophores into a 20 milliliter vial. And that vial was then froze and freeze dried to remove any excess water. That sample was then thawed after freeze drying and dissolved with 20 milliliters of double DI water. And then that a subsample of the phytosiderophore solution was reacted with a copper reagent in order to produce a color visible on the spectrophotometer. The spectrophotometer was used to measure absorbance at 585 nanometers, and then the concentration of the given phytosiderophore was determined using a known standard curve. So first we'll talk about the results that weren't phytosiderophore outputs, the physical results that we observed. As you can see, the top four rows are where iron was present in the solution, and the bottom four are when no iron was present. And as you can see, there is significant difference between those two separate categories, which is good, which is what we want to see. But then focusing on the solutions where there was no iron in the solution, you can see there's only slight differences between the sorghum varieties. But that does, the slight difference goes to show that there is differences between iron deficiency chlorosis between these two hybrids, between these four hybrids, excuse me. So certain ones to look at would be the height, the bottom four on the height column, and the SPAD readings. Those are slightly different. And then moving on to the phytosiderophore results, there was no difference between what we observed in all the sorghum plants. This goes to show that there is no correlation between phytosiderophore exudates and iron deficiency chlorosis tolerance. This was observed in both the solutions that had iron and the ones that did not. But there is differences in iron deficiency chlorosis between hybrids. So this goes to show that phytosiderophores are not responsible for that difference. This research is still continuing, and if I were to go on to the next step of this research, I would like to look at intermediate levels of iron instead of ample iron and just no iron, intermediate levels, to see how low iron levels in the soil would affect the phytosiderophore output, as that would be a more accurate representation of what we would see in the field. And so this is, like I said, this is continuing to be researched, and is also being researched on corn now. And although the results were not what we had hoped, I really enjoyed being a part of this project. It taught me a lot about nutrient management and soil fertility, got me excited about those aspects, taught me a lot about the research project process and how we can better select hybrids for our fields. And it also showed that in agriculture today, we need to look at the small differences that make the big difference in yield to greater increase our efficiency to feed a growing population. So here's a couple references, and I'll take any questions you have. The methodologies were taken from previous experiments, not at K-State, but they were different experiments. Some were on barley, other grasses. I think there was one based on sorghum, but a lot of them were compiling different experiments that were done similarly, but not exact the same method. So, does that answer?
Yes.
Go ahead. I would like to look at that, but just based on these references, they said that this would be the prime output of phytosiderophore, but that would be very interesting to look at and see how that would affect the phytosiderophore output. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned in your conclusions that, you know, we have to look at the small differences.
Right.
That makes one difference. So in all of your hybrids that you had, was there any one hybrid in particular that
So yeah, looking at the results, if I were to choose, I'd probably choose the Pioneer 86G32, just based off of its height, its high IDC, and high SPAD reading. So if I were to choose, that's probably my choice.